Hey everybody, welcome back to The Breakdown. We are in February and I am freezing. I can't wait for spring to come, for summer to come. I am not a winter guy, but the Lord has me planted here in New England. I have always lived up here, but with our guest today, again, longtime friend, known him for a long time. He sojourned away to the sunny land of Florida, but the Lord graciously brought him back up here to the cold.
I feel like you bring that up every time I'm on here. Every time. How is Florida? I'm like, Luke, I've been back for years. Good night.
Well, there's a part of me that, you know, would be open to the Lord calling me to Florida.
So you're living vicariously through my time in Florida?
Yes.
Yes, it was. It's definitely 80 degrees down
there. So welcome, Jamal. Now,
thank you. I appreciate it.
Good to have you.
You don't have to say that. I feel welcome.
So we're going to dive into Pastor John's message.
Yeah, we
got to
dive right in.
Because, there's a lot to get to, and I don't know that we will. Right. So if you're listening and you're like, oh, they're going to cover every line, we probably will not cover every line.
Not probably. We are not going to get to cover every line.
No.
You have to go back and listen to the sermon if you want that.
But this is why, as a child of God, as his son, his daughter, the Lord has given you the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
And that plays into this message. It's about you going and you receiving directly from the Holy Spirit. Mm. So if there's something that you're wrestling with or you didn't understand and we don't talk about it, ask the Holy Spirit about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Keep the discussion going. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to receive from speakers. The
right.
Lord has designed this in such a way that you receive directly from him. All right. So I just want to get to Pastor John's pre-message first. So he talked about judging and this call for us to be slow to judge. And I definitely received that correction that he shared about, you know, praying for those in authority and keeping that same like prophesying spirit, prophesying the good in the land and not just reacting to the darkness that we see or the negativity that we see.
Yeah, I don't even. Mm-hmm. Almost like, what else do you say about that? Because almost in the same way that Pastor Zach used to talk about Bill Johnson when COVID was around, people were disguising, they were saying that it was wisdom, but it was actually fear.
Yes.
And it almost is the same thing. Like, people will say that it's discernment when really it's judgment.
Mm.
But you're saying that it's discernment. And again, I was just talking to the some of the high school boys at King's, just kind of trying to differentiate, like, what actually is that? Like, what, how do we, we were talking about being impeccable with your word, but there's something in the heart that when it comes out of the mouth,
yes,
where it came from in your heart actually determines sometimes whether it's sin or not. Like, you can be saying a true thing, but because it comes from a darker place, because it comes from a deceitful place in your heart, it actually is sin.
Oh,
even though it's truth.
And what's crazy when you're saying, like, I know what that has felt like in me.
Yes, sir.
It's like there's an edge to it.
Yes,
and there's,
sir.
Like a grossness.
Yes,
I recognize the grossness, but it's like, but I'm saying this anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you have to kind of step back. And again, it will disguise it as quote unquote discernment.
Right.
Or
it
I'm
was
just
true.
Telling you the truth.
It
and
was true.
And it actually was true.
Yes.
However, I said, right, you shall know the truth and it will make you free. Often in that situation, this is how you know it comes from a dark place. You're giving the truth to bind them, not to set them free. Mm-hmm. That now it's like, oh my gosh, I have to check my heart in that.
Yes.
That's sin. Like, there's something sinful there that you have to kind of reckon with. And so, again, I'm not saying that some of the things that you're feeling is not discernment, but when it turns to judgment, that's where we have kind of this difficulty. So I appreciated so much just the almost just the foundationalness of it. It wasn't like deeply prophetic like
right.
Pastor John
right.
often is. It was just so like standard, like, this is the directive, and it's like really beautiful.
Yeah, but it you know what he's saying too, like when he's talking about, you know, the difference in how people are praying or prophesying depending on their circumstances, it just shows how reactionary we tend to
Absolutely.
Be rather than focusing on the spirit.
Yeah.
You know, in good times and bad, I should be prophesying the Lord's goodness
mm-hmm.
because that is his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And even in darkness, even when there is like a corrective word from the Lord, there's always that promise of life that comes after. And it's like, don't just stop with the correction. Point to the goodness of the Lord. You know, the, it says it's the kindness of God that leads you to repentance.
Yes, sir.
And you know, we think of, you know, Paul. He was this up-and-coming, you know, Jewish rabbi teacher, and he was persecuting the church of God. But then the Lord meets him, and he radically changes. And you see this night and day difference in his life. And I just see how God was so strategic in choosing Paul.
Yeah. And Jamal. And
yes.
Luke.
And Luke.
And John. And Zach. Like, he is that. He is that strategic. Like you said, like the reactionary place in us, again, often drives us to really it literally is like it's driving the car. It's like it takes us to some places that we didn't actually want to end up being, because we actually let ourselves be led by our own emotions or our own response or our own reaction. And oftentimes the thing that you don't have, because you haven't been prophesying the good in it, you don't have it because his spirit is saying it, but he's waiting for the bride and the spirit to come together and say, come. And when that happens, something different will happen. So the Holy Spirit is already prophesying, no, this is the goodness. Like, this is the direction I want you to go in. And you, instead of prophesying and agreeing with the Holy Spirit, actually become at odds with the Spirit of God because you're saying something different than his Spirit is saying.
Right.
And you don't get what it is that you need until you begin to agree with the Spirit of God. When the bride and the spirit say, come together.
You know, and I loved how John said, you know, we have liberty to judge words from the Lord. So when someone's speaking, you know, we are to weigh that against scripture.
Yeah.
But then when it comes to people, we have the liberty to judge the fruit in someone's life. But there's a vapor thin line between judging fruit and judging their heart. But we are to judge the fruit.
Yes.
But it's a hard task.
Yeah, there's a really hard line there. I try not to judge, but that's not necessary. I'm probably a more judgmental person, just in my nature. Mm-hmm. Like, but I'm very like lawyer-esque in that, right? I'm like, suspect, right? but I appreciate that I've had to take a step back because I've put something on a person. Even because of an assumption of mine, I've put something on a person that wasn't actually theirs. And I've judged them into a certain category or a certain box.
Yes.
Versus being able to take a step back. Now, judging the fruit is interesting, Luke, right? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? Mm-hmm. The power of life and death is in the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes, again, back to his word of prophesying goodness and truth, sometimes you're actually getting the fruit of what is coming out of their mouth, which is what is in their heart. And so that's why there's like this weird differentiating line that you're like, well, it did come out of their mouth, so it had to be in their heart somewhere. But you still are judging the fruit, not the heart.
Mm-hmm.
That's not your job. You don't.
Yes.
You actually can't
yes.
see into that.
Yes.
But it is kind of a weird line. It's like, well, yeah, they said I was stupid, so
right.
So there must be something bad. Like they're terrible. They're a terrible person. It's like, no, they were just having a bad morning. Mm-hmm. Somebody cut them off on the way. You know what I mean? And there is some of that is in their heart, but you cannot judge their heart from that one place that you tasted a little bitterness in what they said.
Right, right. And I think a big part of it, too, is when we understand how the Lord works in our heart, right? Mm. So when you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, it's to produce the fruits of the Spirit.
Yes,
love,
sir.
Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Preach, brother.
And, you know, the Lord disciplines and he prunes. Like, Jesus gives this image of pruning of a gardener. Like, he prunes things off so that there's energy to produce that fruit. And so there's a cultivation in the Lord's discipline. And so I think what the Lord is calling us to in judging someone else's fruit is you should bring that cultivating spirit, not a judgmental spirit.
Sure, that's so good. So good.
But that requires you to truly understand what God has done for
in you.
You.
Yes, yes.
What he's done for you.
Yes.
And then you're like, okay, I can now comfort you and help cultivate you with the same way that the Lord comforted me and cultivated me. So it's a coming alongside. It goes so much further than just that instance of judging in that moment. I judge you, I pronounce judgment, and now off you go with your sentence. Mm-hmm. But it's not, I'm doing a harder thing. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to speak, mm-hmm. if I'm going to address this, the spirit of Jesus inside of me calls me to go a step further and now not just point out that your feet are dirty, but wash your feet. That's heavy.
It's hard. That's one of the hardest things that we'll have to come to maturity in, that we have to come to maturity in. I was thinking just in how you described the difference. Again, that to me is the difference between condemnation and conviction. Mm. The condemnation, when you condemn a building, you're saying this is dead. Like, this is gone. There is no more life in it. There's no more purpose in it. Conviction is actually meant to bring you closer to life. Mm. Condemnation is bringing you closer to death. It's pushing you back. It's pushing you down, right? So again, when you do the judgmental thing, you actually participate in someone's condemnation.
Yeah.
And you're saying that there's nothing valuable left there. Mm-hmm. Versus, no, you are valuable, and that's why I don't want this looking like this. It actually is your value that makes me want to pull you higher versus push you down. But I know that so many Christians, even pastors at certain places, is like the condemnation. They feel like they're the convictor, and actually they are the condemner. It's actually how it goes. Let the Holy Spirit do that job himself. He's really good at it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not that we aren't going to be called to say hard things to people or call
That's
them
exactly
out.
Right.
But what I'm getting from this is if you're feeling led in that way, you need to really pray. You need to really seek the Lord for the how and the what you are to say and what is your role going to be after you say those words.
Mm. Yeah, I think we have to start from a position of we cultivate a culture of grace. So grace requires confrontation.
Yes.
Like sweeping it under the rug is not grace. That's not grace. So requiring the confrontation, but then you have to have the grace to cover that. Like as you're calling it out, there's got to be a grace to walk with it and not just say, mm-hmm. well, you did this and this, and then push to the side. I've had pastors do that with me. Like, oh, well, how you talk to Holly is terrible. Not recently. This was like years ago when we first got married. Well, I don't like how you talk to Holly. So in 6 months, come back and let us know if you're doing any better. And it's like, wait, you're not going to like walk with me through you're not going to try and teach me how to do better. You're just going to literally say, you're not doing right. Go figure it out. That is crazy to my brain. Because that's not actually producing a disciple.
No.
That's producing a convert, not a disciple. Because the discipline isn't actually there. It's not being put in.
Yeah.
It feels like punishment. And so I think that we've just got to take a different tact, like a different mindset, and really become like the Holy Spirit, become like Jesus. I want you to be better, so I actually draw you to my side. I don't push you away, ever. Mm. It's like he's never pushing away. He's always.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, to do that, it requires that the fire of the Holy Spirit is burning right in us, you know. And so this, and, you know, it was funny because Pastor John was treating these as almost like two separate messages, mm-hmm. but it kept bleeding out. Like, mm-hmm. it's all one.
Yeah.
And I hope that you're catching this as you're listening to it. If you don't, just go back and listen. It's just so cool to see how everything goes together. So, you know, he talked about and he titled the message "The Lackluster Lampstand," and I think we need to just talk about that. Like, why would the Lord lead him to title it that and not the, you know, "Burn Bright for Me"? Right? Yeah. There's something sobering in hearing that phrase, "The Lackluster Lampstand." You know, in me, it's like, Lord, I don't want that.
Yeah,
I don't want that. You can
just in that statement, there's a conviction.
Like, yes.
Oh my gosh, like. God, if that's us, burn everything. Like, burn mm-hmm. the house down.
Yes.
So that we burn bright for you. So yes. that your glory is manifest.
Amen.
So good.
Amen. And, you know, he talked about how, you know, he started out with the blueprint that Moses was given on the mountain. And, you know, and the Lord told Moses, like, you're going to build the tabernacle just as you saw it on the mountain. And we're not going to go into all of that, but what I want you to take from that story, from this truth is, you know, the heart of God is that his presence would be with us. And then there's these layers throughout scripture. And John summarized it as God near us, then God with us, and then God in us. So there's these, you'll see these patterns throughout scripture. And I would write that down because that really is the overarching story of God coming back to, you know, wanting to, his presence to invade earth. You know, we had that in the garden. The garden was the first place where God lived with man. But then because of sin, we had, you know, man gave his authority to Satan, and now we have the kingdom of darkness. But God, from the beginning, has put a plan in place that we would be able to receive from his presence and ultimately be bearers of his presence.
Back just 2 seconds to lackluster.
Yeah.
I was just like, okay, what is the actual definition? I've never looked at it. I know what it means, but I've never really looked it up. And it says lacking in vitality, life, force, or conviction, uninspired or uninspiring. I thought that that was such an interesting place. Like, as we're thinking about, like you said, it's like bleeds through, right?
Yes.
And you're talking about not judging, but there's a sense of conviction, right? Lackluster is not having that conviction, not having force behind you, not having life behind you. And that's literally how they define it. And then uninspired or uninspiring. And I think that actually the two are deeply connected, because when you're inspired by the Lord, you then inspire others. The whole point of you being on fire is to point people back to the inspiration of the fire.
Correct, because it's not your fire.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And the stuff that you're burning is a strange fire to the Lord. You have to have his fire if you're going to come into his presence and do anything there. So it just was an interesting part on the definitional side, Luke, of lackluster. Seemingly is a really perfect definition with even the first word that he gave.
Right.
It really ties together.
Right,
like,
it does.
Superbly.
It totally does. And to have that conviction, to have that,
yes, sir,
that brightness, we have to have that be wholly devoted. And he had this really heavy quote that he said multiple times. He said, "When you are double minded spiritually, you become cross-eyed, and it leads to disorientation, destruction, and despair."
Okay, so this is me. The second definition for lackluster, and I read it and I was like, is of the hair or the eyes not shining or dull, like specifically. And so when he talked about cross-eyed, I thought, oh my goodness, that is so crazy. Not only are your eyes crossed, they're dull.
Yeah.
Because you're lackluster. And it actually reminds me of what Rachel or Leah, who was it? Her eyes are weak or something like that. I'm like, she had lackluster eyes, ladies and gentlemen. But
Leah,
there is something about that that I do think that the Lord, you know, when you look at Jesus and you see a picture of Jesus in Revelation, like there's nothing lackluster.
Yeah.
There's nothing
there's
about
fire in his eyes.
Period.
Fire in his eyes.
Period. And you should be doing the same thing. But I do love the double-minded and thinking almost what I thought when he said it was like a chameleon that has the eyes on both sides, that is kind of looking around. But for us, we're not built that way. You're supposed to have a univision, right? You're not built to be able to do that. So when you're, a lot of people are trying to be chameleons out here and have double vision, but it's not good for us.
Well, Jesus in Matthew 6:22, he says the eye is the lamp of the body, right?
That's so good.
And if your eye is dark, then your body's dark, if your eye's light, your whole body's full of light.
Mm.
So there's just this truth of we are to be radiating the light of Jesus.
Absolutely. I mean, and even going back, like Pastor Zach has been talking about, the virgins. And again, it ties so significantly as we're talking about them having oil in their lamps. the oil was to be on fire. Like, that was the whole point. So, like you said, Luke, don't just go back and listen to this week. Like, listen to the last couple weeks.
Yes.
Because even on Tuesday nights, it's been like, it's been just weaving together. Yeah. Like, the fire. It's like he's about to send the fire. Maybe we need to do that on Sunday.
Dude, I was thinking that.
Hey!
That's one of my favorite songs.
That's a jam.
Oh, man.
That is a jam.
So then, you know, going into that, now John 1. And Pastor John, you know, he said, like, I propose to you, like, this is the central verse.
Mm.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Then the Word becomes flesh, and then we behold his glory. And it's, you know, in him was light, and that light was the light of man. Mm. And that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. And where I think that we need to, where I'm sensing the Holy Spirit calling us to apply that to our life is, the light that the Spirit places inside of you, the fire that the Spirit places inside of you, the darkness cannot comprehend it. And if we live that way, like, it's like the Holy Spirit saying, like, if you live that way, there's nothing you cannot do that I call you to do. You know, no weapon formed against you will prosper. It cannot, the fire cannot be comprehended or extinguished by the darkness.
Sure. And I was right on the same line. That's really trippy that. Like, I was hearing some of the same stuff, that I think even in our own life, there is darkness in you that literally when the light comes in, it will not comprehend. So there are places in your flesh that are going to push against the light.
Yeah.
You have got to make up in your mind, he is the light of the world, period. Mm. And that is the kind of light that I want to be. You've got to decide that before the flesh starts to kick up. Because in the moment, it's going to be harder because the darkness does not comprehend, right?
Yes.
But there's something in you that has got to say, I don't care. I want that light. I want that oil. I want that fire. And it doesn't matter what I comprehend. Like, a lot of the stuff that the Lord does, we don't understand it. But it's actually because he's trying to set us on fire.
Yes.
And so he's doing the thing that he knows is actually going to get us there. He's requiring sacrifices of us, because you can't have a fire without fuel. You have to have something to burn.
Right.
And so you become the thing that's burning because you're the living sacrifice.
Amen.
So you're the thing that's burning, but you've got to decide that his light, because you're not going to agree with everything that the Lord says. Okay. I'm just telling you that now. Like, there are places in you that are going to push back against that because the darkness does not comprehend.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to do. But you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you can renew your mind to believe consistently, he is the light of the world. Mm-hmm. And I want that light in me.
Amen. Amen. So if you're listening to this and there's something like pushing against you, I would just encourage you right now just to pause and ask the Holy Spirit to, you know, show you what it is that the Lord is doing in your life. Allow the Holy Spirit to give you a picture of what the Lord is doing in your situation. You may be finding yourself in something like, I don't completely understand this, or like, why do I keep messing up in this certain way? Or why is it like every time I try to build this, it just keeps getting torn down? Ask the Holy Spirit to show you. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you what the Lord is doing so that you can come into agreement with what he's doing and understand that you are in his interest. Like, he wants to purify you. He does not want you to be a lackluster lampstand.
Right.
And
right.
You did not form yourself.
Right.
He's forming you.
Right.
You know, we come into John chapter 3.
Hold on.
Yeah.
And he's forming all of you.
Yes.
Like, he doesn't want to leave parts behind.
Amen.
So even the parts that he wants you to kill, it's so that he can still take that piece and form it into his image.
Yes.
I mean, specifically, that's what it's supposed to do. The other thing that I was just real quick, Luke, that I
keep hearing is...
If you're in that moment, again, take a pause. But I keep hearing the Holy Spirit say, look for the light at the end of the tunnel. Mm. You feel like you're in a tunnel right now. And then there was a little correction in that as I heard the statement. Look for the light beside you. Look for the light, right? As
yes.
He's near us.
Amen.
He's with us. And then he's in us. Right. So don't just look for he is near you. He's not just the light at the end of the tunnel, though that is a direction that you should be looking in. Get your eyes there so that, again, you're not a double minded man. You're not cross eyed and dull eyed.
Yes. Yes. And I'm just reminded of James 1 verses 3 through 5. I pulled it up. James says, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. It is God's will for you that you would be perfect, complete, and lacking nothing.
Especially not lacking luster. Lacking nothing.
And now it's like we're coming to that picture of from John 3, where it's, you know, the world will see that you are wrought of God.
Yeah.
And Pastor John had the anvil. Mm-hmm. And that is what the Lord is doing in us.
Yeah. I wasn't even in the sanctuary at that exact moment, and I could hear it in different parts of the building. It was really crazy how much that rung out in the building.
Yes. Yes.
And again, I actually kind of chuckled to myself, because that is what a lot of people are doing when the Lord is hammering them out. They're like screaming like that. Like you can hear it through the walls and through the building. And I just thought it was such an interesting, like, if you're that, because that's what he was talking about, like us being hammered out like that. What is your response in the process? Mm-hmm. Are you just hollering through?
No, it's true. It's true. It's true.
Don't sound stupid. It's like...
No, it's really true, and this is the hard thing that we all walk.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, it's so easy. Oh, something bad happens. Oh, the enemy is in my life, and I'm not saying that it's not the enemy.
Right.
But within this, it's like, okay, Lord, how are you hammering?
Yeah.
Because I understand the enemy is going to be defeated. The enemy is defeated.
Absolutely.
And the enemy is moving, but you are greater.
Absolutely.
So show me in this situation how I'm being hammered. How you're polishing me so that I am not lackluster.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. You coming back to that? I love it. That's it. So that I'm not lacking anything, so that I have everything that I need to be who I'm supposed to be. And like you said, Luke, where we started, right? You start to actually, instead of prophesying God's goodness, you become judgmental of the Lord.
Yes.
Good night of living.
That's a very scary place to be.
You start judging God and his actions and what he does. So again, you've got to decide ahead of time that I choose to make him the light of my life. You've got to already decide that, because otherwise when it comes down to it, like when the rubber meets the road, instead of quote unquote discerning, oh, well, it's just Satan. No, you have to come to a place where if you believe, if you've changed your mind to believe that all things work together for the good of them that love him, to them that are calling, if you really believe that he turns everything for good, do you really believe that? Because if you believe that, every time there's an evil thing, you ought to see a situation for the glory of God. Mm-hmm. You ought to resign yourself to, God, I don't care how much of the sacrifice I have to be for you to be able to burn up so that you can be glorified. You've just got to decide that this is an opportunity for God's glory to shine. And that is a different mindset. Like, you live a different life and you don't start judging God. You allow the judgment to dissipate when you first feel it like starting to rise up almost.
Amen. Amen.
And there is a thought process to that, again, I was telling the boys, like, there's certain places that there are certain roads that I know that I'm not supposed to go down. Mm-hmm. Just in my soul that it's like, oh no, that's a bad thought process.
Yep.
I shouldn't go there. And again, there's a first step that you start to take. Sometimes it's in my emotions. Like I can feel myself starting to get aggravated or anxious or something like that. And I feel the first step. And sometimes it's in my mind. It's like a thought process. My encouragement to you, friends, is find that place. Find what is the first step. At least what you can consider to be the first step. It actually may be like the fifth or 10th step. But when you start to identify that place, you say, this is a road that I should not be going down, and decide to turn your car around right there. That is repentance. That's actually repentance.
Yes.
So you turn that thing around and you come out of that. And every time something in you starts to make that first step towards that, you decide, no, I'm not going in that direction. because right. I want to be the light of the, I want to be like the light of the world.
Right, right. Yeah. And when you ask the Holy Spirit to show you, he's going to show
Absolutely.
You. Absolutely. He will show Absolutely. You. I loved how a Pastor John emphasized that, you know, God's discipline is proof of his love, right? The Lord loves whom he corrects. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you are feeling that conviction from the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. that you're responding to the fire, that you're being drawn into the fire, that is proof of God's work and his love in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love all of our kids at Kings, right? And I correct them on a regular basis. Yeah. I discipline them on a regular basis. There are kids that I walk past in Walmart. I do not discipline them.
Right.
Why? Because I don't love those kids.
You don't have a relationship.
Those aren't my kids. So no, again, I can love people, and I'm not saying that I don't. You know, you love your neighbor, whatever. I get that. I'm talking about the level of correction, the level of discipline. You should discipline your kids more than anybody else's.
Yeah.
Because you love them, and you actually want the discipline to be
your children.
They're yours, right? Yeah. And so, in the same way of the father, like again, we think about discipline in kind of a rougher spot. But it's like, no, a good dad actually does, and then again walks past other people's kids who actually need some discipline. Like yep. my grandmother would say, they need a good whooping.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. No, for real,
and, right? And you walk past them because it's like, well, that's not my kid screaming and having a tantrum at Walmart.
For real.
But if it was, I would immediately correct it. And so again, please see the real life picture of a good father who loves his kids. Who, again, most of the time, you as a parent are going to walk past other kids that you don't know and let them run around the church or running through the sanctuary.
So now, in closing, we come to the parable of the 10 virgins. And this is where things get really sober. And this is where we should, you know, really start to feel that conviction and start to examine our heart. You know, like before we take communion, examine your heart. That's a call that that's given to each of us individually. So we're talking about hearts. The only heart that you are called to examine is your own.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Examine your heart. Pastor John said this, I don't know how many times, but he said, half of us in this room are not prepared.
And that's not just for the return of bridegroom is coming, but are not prepared for today, mm-hmm. are not prepared for tomorrow. We don't have oil burning for next week, and we're not preparing ourselves to have oil burning. Some of you, crazy part is some of us do have enough oil to get us to heaven, right? To get us to the marriage. But you don't have enough oil to be light here on earth.
Right. I'm hearing for life and living.
Yes.
Like for you to have life and then for you to live and do the works that he's called you to do.
Yeah. Right. Uninspired and uninspiring.
Yes.
Sadly enough. Lackluster. Yeah. Luke, come on.
Thanks for that definition.
Don't roll your eyes at me like that. Yeah. I have to go to definition sometimes and it really unlocks something there. So back there, what are you doing to even prepare your oil? What are you doing to get yourself? What are you doing to get yourself ready to burn? Some people are dousing themselves in water before they go out because they don't actually want to burn certain things, right? And some of us are like trying to find a pool of oil as fast as we can, so that we can burn as soon as he lights that match. It's like propane in the air; mm-hmm. it just lights everything up. And I'm like, Lord, I want to spontaneously combust. Like, let's go. Like,
amen. Amen. Well, and that's why it's so important that we receive from the testimonies of other people.
Mm.
But then also, more importantly, look at the hand of the Lord in your own life. Because mm-hmm. if you are a child of God, he has been burning things in you. Mm-hmm. So ask him to take you back on that journey. And when you see like, oh, that was you working in me. You were burning this. You were taking this piece of flesh out so that I would burn brighter, so that I would, you know, you're trimming my wick in such a perfect way, right? When you come to understand that, you're like, oh, I want more. So keep the burning going, mm-hmm. And you don't you cooperate with the Lord's, like, you know, controlled burn in your life.
And then at the end of that process, you actually get branded.
Yes.
That's the burn that you feel like is killing something in that area and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it is. But it's so that people can look at you and be like, oh, that, like Andy written on the bottom of your shoe. It's like, you belong to the Lord. You belong to Jesus. You have been branded in the fire that he's put you through and come out on the other side. And I'll say again, Luke, like most of us have in our own testimony have just been looking for the light at the end of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we miss Jesus sometimes, because he's actually the light at our back. He's the light at our side. Like he's the cloud by the day and fire by night.
Yes.
And so we're missing a certain part of it. So again, friends, I encourage you, go back as you're thinking about your own testimony and look around for Jesus. Look around for where that light was in the situation that you might have missed there. But when you prove to yourself 2, 3, 4, 5 times that you look back and you're like, oh, Jesus was right there. There's something about it that begins to prove it to you, even though the darkness doesn't comprehend it right now. Jesus has got to be here. It feels too dark for Jesus to be here, but he's got to be. I know he's here because I've walked through this time and time again, and I found him every single time.
Amen. Amen. And so the challenge to us is we have to get our own oil. This is not something that I can do for you. This is not something that you can do for me. I have to go to the dealer myself. There is no other way.
I know how to make it.
I cannot do that.
Like the crushing. Oh no, God, no. And yeah, there is something beautiful there that oftentimes the oil that he wants is coming out of you. That's most often. It's like it's something that that is kind of bubbles up out of you, but you get oil from crushing. You get oil from the pressure process. And so back to James, it's like you count it joy because your endurance produces something in the end.
Yes.
Right? So we actually are looking forward to that, understanding that the Lord uses that for good every time. And it brands us in, we're branded in his fire in the end.
Amen. Amen. And Pastor John brought up, I don't remember the whole quote, but basically that, you know, ministry, it's people receiving from the crushing in your own life.
Mm-hmm. So good.
So let's go to the dealer ourselves. Go straight to his word. Go to the Holy Spirit. Ask him to burn bright in you. Ask him to show you what's going on in your life. You know, Pastor John said one of the first questions they ask when people are going to be on the prayer team is, tell me the last encounter you had with the Lord. Because if you are encountering him, if you're encountering his presence through his word, through people, or however he's guiding you, you are receiving the oil. It's the oil of his presence. It's the fire of his presence in your life.
Yeah. I tell people that for worship all the time. It's like you can't bring somebody to a place where you don't go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you have to be encountering the Lord to make sure that there's still oil in there.
Right.
And honestly, there are sometimes where ministering to somebody actually puts oil. Again, it's like the widow pouring out the oil all in all the jars. You don't actually realize how much you have in there, and it refills something in you.
Yes,
when you pour out the oil of the Spirit.
Well, thank you, Jamal. Thank you for this. Would you just bless us in prayer as we go?
Just one more quick statement.
Yeah,
Jordan Peterson. I was watching him recently, and he made a really profound statement to me. He said, every time, at this point, anytime his family faces any level of pushback, they always, as a family, they've learned to see it as a major opportunity.
Yeah.
Every single time. And literally, he sees the darkness and it's like, okay, where's the room for light here? Where's the light going to shine the brightest? Oh, how's this going to, like, and I think that that is so beautiful. And there are so many times where I am the pessimist, okay? There's so many times where I'm looking at it like, and I'll call it realism.
Easy part to play.
Yeah. And so, friends, change your mentality if you can. Shift your mindset that every dark place that you see is an opportunity for glory for the Lord. It's an opportunity for his light. And make space for that. He wants you to see him. Me and Luke were having a conversation before we started about seeing yourself in a different way and coming into a different place and then seeing God in a different way. And it's the deficiency that creates that. So Abraham says Jehovah Jireh after he had the deficiency. And so Lord, today we offer you every deficiency. We know that there's no waste at the altar. And so we offer all of it to you. You know me, I just sing. I hear, come lay your broken dreams at the altar. Yes. And every victory at the altar. He can use anything. Sit back and watch him. Because there's no waste at the altar. Lord, we believe that today. And so we say we will be sacrificed. Holy and acceptable, that will allow the crushing for the oil and then set us on fire. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Jamal. Thanks, family, too. Have a great week, and we'll see you on Sunday. Can't count on